Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 55, the second paragraph, starting with, "Actually, we were fooling ourselves," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Audrey M.P., Reader of the Text, Penny L.C., Shelley E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Jordan L. The reference number for Tuesday, May 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,881. That's 16881. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,889. That's 16889. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Team Wednesday. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island, but I am currently on vacation in Florida. Thank you for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Joanne L. And now I'll ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Team Wednesday. This is Audrey M.P. I'm gratefully recovering in Santa Monica, California. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group might never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Anonymity is the spiritual the 12th tradition. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 55, the second paragraph, starting with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. Actually, we were fooling ourselves. For deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of what that power in human lives. Sorry, that didn't make sense in my mind. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. And I appreciate that. I know the authors of this Big Book are very clear about their intention and how they lead us into finding the truth. And in this case, I see this paragraph as the beginning of my chance for in searching how, where, and when that I will find God. And the beautiful part of it is here, this paragraph is telling me where. Deep down inside of me. And it says the fundamental idea, and I even interjected a God. Not of God, but a God, because we're told in the Big Book that we can have the God of our understanding. It doesn't have to be a God that anyone else gives us or that comes from any other concept except ourselves. And that was very important in my recovery, to be able to find a God that was personal to me. But when it's, because it tells me I need to have that faith in this power And there will be, and I know there have been and there will continue to be, miraculous demonstrations of that power in my life and in others' lives. I call them God incidents. It's just amazing when things line up as they are meant to and things just unfold so gracefully. I know God's hand is there. Or when things happen serendipitously, I really believe that God has orchestrated some of that at times. For me, that is my thought. But knowing for all of this to happen, I do need to absolutely be sure that I'm letting go of myself, my pride, my ego, and opening myself up to the possibilities, to have an open mind and an open heart as I come to explore a higher power personal to me. And I just so appreciate that the 12-step program allows me to do that, that this whole process is an unfolding of my understanding of how I can connect with a God that I have conceived, that I feel close to. And I need to be staying open about that. But when I do, it's amazing the journey that it's taken me on. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Brandy M.
Randy M.
Brandy M.
Okay, Brandy M.
Faith M.
Melissa G.
Faith M.
Faith S.
Faith S.
Yes.
And Melissa.
Melissa G.
Melissa
Christine
G.
M.
Christine M.
Lauren H.
Lauren H.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's stop there. I have Randy M., Faith S., Melissa G., Christine M., Lauren H., and Jordan L. Go ahead, Randy M. Go ahead and share with us, please, Randy. Press star one, Randy.
Good morning. It's Brandy. I'm a recovered compulsive reader. Sorry, I got booted off and I had to call back in. Love this paragraph. You know, we had to finally see that faith in some kind of God was part of our makeup, just as much as a feeling we have for a friend. But it's blocked, right? Like when I come into program, this connection with a higher power is blocked, you know, with calamity, with trauma, with, you know, worship, pride, whatever, like all those character defects. And so in working through the steps is how I become in connection with that God and keep that connection clear through the steps. And, you know, I do believe that it is within me, you know, like, and like there was always a God-sized hole within me and I filled it up with other things. And today, you know, I choose to fill it up with, you know, what would God have me be? I would look to other people to, you know, make me okay. And today that's just not the way that my mind works. And, you know, in this book, it says that like what used to be the occasional hunch or inspiration gradually becomes a part of the working mind. And that's been my experience. And I don't know how. All I know is that I did the work and I took action. And, you know, now my mind thinks differently. It's like I go to God to build me up rather than to another human being. And I do hear God every day in my life. I also hear the other side And, you know, I don't really name the other side, but there's two voices going on in my head. You know, I'm like, whoa, do I have two personalities? But, you know, one is God and one is, I think, the disease. And so today I choose to go with that God voice. And when I don't, you know, I clean that mess up, because typically it causes a mess. And when I'm worshiping other things and not being close to my Creator. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brandy M. And now Faith S., will you share with us, followed by Melissa G.? And if you'd like to share the state or country that you're calling from,
New York.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Of course. Faith S., New York, compulsive overeater. Something had happened with my family, you know, family dramas. And that's something that would normally have caused me to I only have a week in this, to reach for food. And I didn't do it. I connected to God immediately. And it's so powerful. I, too, used to reach for people. I would just always people, rely on people for everything. And this time I didn't. This time I stayed quiet and I just meditated and I reached for God, and there was no desire to use food. And that's fabulous. It's also like a shock to me. Anyway, I love this meeting in the morning, and I love everything everybody says. You guys have so much wisdom. And that's all. Thank you, Pass.
Thank you so much, Faith S. from New York. Melissa G., will you share with us, followed by Christine M.? And you're welcome to share where you're calling from. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. This is Melissa G. from Michigan. So this paragraph was really powerful for me today. When I came into the program, I had real true experiences of God all over my life. Like things that happened where I knew that I knew that I knew that it was God, and you know, everything was great, everything was wonderful. But then, as this paragraph said, slowly, you know, that pink cloud, awesome feeling starts to wear off, and I start looking at, well, how about, you know, I don't have this, or I really wanted this job, but then I didn't get it, or, you know, although I didn't get, which is back to, you know, treating God as though there's some kind of genie and not a higher power. I turned, you know, food into my higher power. I turned other people into my higher power. I turned, you know, my status in life is my higher power. And none of that could sustain me. Sure, I could lose, you know, significant amounts of weight in probably 100 times over. But that weight always came back on, because that's not where my peace was going to come from. And when my life isn't aligned with God's and my heart is not tethered to God, I'm like a roaming puppy, and I'm looking for pets everywhere I can get them, when really I just need to be tethered to God and led by God. So I appreciate you all being here. I don't usually make the 10 o'clock meeting, so it's nice to hear some different voices. Have a wonderful day. Pass.
Thank you, Melissa G. from Michigan. Now, Christine M., will you share with us, please? Followed by Lauren H. Good morning, Christine.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. My name is Christine M. I am from Missouri, compulsive overeater. I have spent the last 3 years in relapse off and on with the food and reaching for people, reaching for food, reaching for, you know, circumstances in my life that I thought, you know, would fill this God-sized hole in my soul. And none of it has worked, you know. I've struggled to get on this line because of ego and pride and because of fear. And I'm grateful that God has humbled me enough to come on here and just say that I'm struggling and I'm starting over and, you know, reaching for God, because God is the only thing, you know. It like what was said, I can come in here and lose weight and, you know, all that. And I could look really good, you know, on paper, and be dying on the inside, because I am not reaching for God, because I'm reaching for things that, you know, that just can't sustain me. And, you know, I want to get recovered, truly recovered, and truly, like what was said, tethered to God, not just on the surface. And I believe for me that this relapse, you know, God wants me to go deeper. God wants me to surrender at a whole nother level. And part of that is getting on this line and asking for outreach and asking for help. So I'm just grateful to be here. I'm so grateful that God still loves me and forgives me, and that He does for me what I can't do for myself, and that I feel hope today, and I'm looking forward to any outreach calls. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you so much, Christine M. from Missouri. And yes, from our member list, people can look you up and look up your state and give you an outreach call. Thank you so much. And we also have a time at the end of the meeting for newcomers to announce their name and numbers if they've never announced before. Lauren H., we'll have you share now, followed by Jordan L., and I just want to remind people we are on page 55, the second paragraph, starting with, actually, we are fooling ourselves. We're commenting on that one paragraph only. Thanks so much. Lauren H., please share with us. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is Lauren H. From Los Angeles, a recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to speak this morning, and thank you so much for all of you guys for your service. I appreciate you, and I love this sentence. For deep down in me and all of us is the fundamental idea of God. I have a big heart next to my big book. It's my experience that when I feel recovered, when I feel unblocked,
I think
when
we
I feel connected.
Lost you there, Lauren H. Could you press *1, please? Well, while we're waiting for Lauren H. to get back on, Jordan L., would you share with us, please? Jordan L., press *1.
Hey, Dawn, can you hear me?
Dawn. Can people hear me?
We can hear Jordan.
Hello?
Yes.
We can hear Jordan.
I think your phone is muted.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jordan L. I'll contact on B and see if we can get this lined up. So if you're not Jordan L., please
can anyone hear
press
me?
*1.
My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Can you hear me, Elaine? I can hear you, Jordan.
Yes,
this is Lauren H.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, guys. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to everyone who's being in service on the line this morning and to be here and to be abstinent. this paragraph used to make me so mad. I hated it. Because I was so sure that all the people that had all this faith, they were the ones that were fooling themselves. and I was the one who had it figured out, you know? Like, I was just going to be self-reliant, and I was going to, you know, I've had different ideas throughout it. It started with ideas about, I'm going to get perfect grades in school, and that's going to be the thing that gets me through. And then after that, it was like, I'm going to get lots of promotions and keep moving up in my career, and that's going to be the thing that gets me through.
Well, hello. Yeah. This is... Go ahead.
Hi, Dawn.
I'm back. I don't know what happened there, but thank you so much. Jordan, are you sharing?
I am, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
sorry about
thanks,
that. Go Dawn. Ahead.
It's all good. And there was always, you know, there was always another idea that I had about what was going to get me through. And it's that's all good. It's I'm grateful for that stuff today because it got me to where I am, right? But what was so, what angered me so much about this paragraph was that I'm the one fooling myself with all of that stuff, you know? I'm the one who am one of the men, women, and children who has that fundamental idea of God deep down within myself. I don't know why that made me angry. I didn't want to accept that. And it wasn't until there was a particular messenger that delivered that idea to me, and it was someone who I'm extremely grateful for now. It was early on in my recovery. She was like this like mean-looking biker chick with a bunch of tattoos and shit, and she introduced this idea to me that I have that God deep down inside of me as well. It's there, like it is. There's no denying it or arguing with it or any of that, you know. It's there, whether I like it or not. Period. Done. End of story. So I either embrace it and come into recovery and get on board and participate with what you guys are talking about. Or I continue to do it on my own out there and deny it, you know? what was our choice to be? That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. And is Lauren H. back with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure. Lauren H.? Yes.
Oh, thanks, Dawn. Okay. Hi.
Sure,
hi,
go
everyone.
Ahead.
Yeah. Lauren H., from Los Angeles, recovered compulsive overeater. What I was saying is that huge heart in my big book, because deep down in all of us and me is the idea of God. And it's my experience is why I love it so much. It's how I feel when I'm connected to God and recovered. It's just this love. It's joy. It's freedom. It's lack of fear. I didn't have any of that ever. Small moments where I'm on a vacation and, oh, this is fun. But it's all the time that I'm just, my heart is happy. Like that's the feeling I have when I feel connected to God. And sure, you know, I get it. And what, you know, and this explains a lot to me. Like, why didn't I feel that ever? Because I was so blocked. I had so many layers of blockage from that love just inside of me for God. And we agnostics tell this over and over, it's prejudice. That was a big one. And not my fault, it, you know, given to me old ideas about old religions, and that's okay. But just getting unblocked and putting those aside and figuring out what God is to me, and fear is huge, huge blockage for me. The not good enoughness, and I'm so afraid now. So when I unblock those old ideas and those fears and any resentments that come up, and you know, I've got to do it all day, every day. I'm an addict. They keep coming up, darn it. When I uncover, discover, and discard and unblock myself, that love feeling in my heart's there again, and I just feel it's better. It's better than the food. It's you know, my connection to God, and huge heart. But I wouldn't have known what that meant until I went through the steps. And that's how I got that, all that unblocked, you know, as directed by the big book, you know, word for word, sitting down with another recovered sponsor, reading line for line, letting her translate these words to me. And, you know, with yeah, with you guys and God and this big book, one day at a time, I can feel that huge heart. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lauren H. And to remind everyone, we're on page 55, the second paragraph. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Press Donna, Wendy, PB.
Was that Donna B?
Yes.
Okay, and Wendy?
Wendy PB.
Wendy PB. Who else would like to share? Okay, let's start with Donna B, followed by Wendy PB. Go ahead, Donna, and share where you're calling from, if you would, please.
Good morning. This is Donna B, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I do spell my name D-A-N-A, although it's pronounced Donna. Thank you for the opportunity to share, although it came on more quickly than I expected. Miraculous demonstrations of that power. That was a really important element of my being able to connect with the idea of God actually living deep down inside of me. When I came into recovery, I was definitely agnostic. I did not have an idea or a concept of what God was to me. And I've often shared on the line that in the absence of having a concept of God, with time, I had an experience of God. But part of what cultivated my ability to experience God working in my life was seeing God working in the lives of others. Earlier in the big book, they talk about that flimsy reed. And every single person who I witnessed in recovery was one flimsy reed. And those flimsy reeds, I sort of imagined holding them in my fist. And I was gathering them and gathering them and gathering them until I had so many of these reeds that I could actually braid them into a rope that had depth and weight and strength to pull me out of my own despair and to help me witness the miraculous demonstration of God working in my life. I spoke to a woman once who said to me, "How can you not believe in a power greater than yourself if you have a sobriety date? If you have a date, if I have a date in which I stopped volume eating, binging, purging, that was the beginning of a sustained and long-term period of entire abstinence, how can I possibly question the power of God working in my life?" And it gets obscured all the time, every day. And I have to revisit the miracles that I witness in other people's lives and the miracles that I witness in my own. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Colorado. Now, Wendy P.B., will you share with us, please?
Hi, this is Wendy P.B. from Chicago. Grateful, recovered, and very happy to be here today. Like so many people, I have underlined in my big book, "For deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God." And that tells me that everyone is that I come across is divine. Everyone has God deep down within them. And to connect with God, all I have to do is close my eyes, or all I have to do is make an outreach call, or do an outreach text, or pick up my big book. you know, my higher power is imminently and constantly available to me. If I am keeping the food down, if I am showing up and going to meetings, if I am doing my daily work that I need to do, if I am keeping in fit spiritual condition, that relationship with my higher power is right here. I can't not have it. It's my disease that obscures and blocks me from God. God doesn't move. And so this paragraph is just, it like screams off the page for me. Miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. I remember as a child asking my mom, you know, why don't miracles happen anymore like they used to happen back in the old, you know, times? And I remember her saying, I don't know. They just don't. But they do. They do. They happen every day. I don't know how many people are on the call today, but every single one of us is a miracle. It's a miracle that I was able to put the food down and keep it down. And, you know, every morning when I roll out of bed and I say my morning prayer and ask God to help me stay abstinent through the day, that's a miracle. It's easy to forget that, but it's so, so true. So I feel deep, deep gratitude for all of you today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy PB from Chicago, Illinois. Now I'm going to take some more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Bonnie T.
Laura
Chicago.
T. Was that Bonnie G?
That's Bonnie T.
Bonnie T.
Yes.
And was that a Laura?
Laura T.
Laura T. Very good. Who else would like to share? Take a couple more.
Sandy
names.
S.
Sandy S.
Yes.
Okay.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L. And we'll stop there. Very good. All right. Bonnie T. Followed by Laura T. Then we're going to have Sandy S. and Stephanie L. Go ahead, Bonnie, and please share where you're calling from.
Thank you so much, Don, for your service this morning. This is Bonnie T, and I'm also from Chicago, Illinois. So what I heard in this paragraph this morning, there's been so many good shares on this, but it sort of summated for me in one word, and that's grace. This paragraph tells me that by living this program and by finding that power greater than myself, I get to live in grace, and I get to experience those miracles, both in my own life and in the lives of others. It's like I get a new set of eyes for the way that I see the world, both internally and externally, something that I couldn't see when it was obscured by calamity and by pomp and by worship of other things. And often in my gratitude that night in my 11th step, there's this piece about I'm just grateful for the gift of another day. I just see life so differently as a recovered person than back in the day when I was in the food. So this paragraph to me is profound. And thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie T. from Chicago, Illinois. Now we'll have Laura T. followed by Sandy S. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, everyone. This is Laura T. from Texas. I'm a compulsive overeater. This line... This actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God, made me so happy when I read it. One of my defects is that I tend to gravitate to self-pity and feeling left out, and I tried so many other ways to get in touch with God, and I just didn't. I couldn't, because I was blocked by pomp and arrogance and all of those things and idolizing other people instead of God. But as soon as I got rid of those things, as soon as I let that go, I felt God, and it opened up from inside me. And then to read this, that he's always been there, just fills my whole soul. It just fills me up with God. And then, you know, what I'm not left out from anything, and I never have been. And I just find that a beautiful and wonderful feeling, and it has allowed me to turn my interests outward to other people and away from self, which is what I need to do for this disease. So I'm just so happy to have read this in the Big Book, and every time I hear it and see it, that happiness comes again. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Laura T. from Texas. And now Sandy S., will you share with us, followed by Stephanie L. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. This is Sandy S. from California. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your guys' service on the compulsive overeater. This paragraph, this is the first time I'm sharing on A Vision for You. So this paragraph really resonated with me. Everybody else's share has been incredible, and I'm like, I'm really connecting to those shares. For me, it's deep down, I have got God inside of me. He's always been there. It's just that I've obscured it with calamity. Oh my gosh, there's so many things that I've put in the way of him by worshiping other things, food, huge people, thinking that people are going to fill that gap. Work, keeping busy with being busy so I don't have to deal with certain defects of my character. Or I'm going to be perfect in everything, so life is going to work out great for me. But that I was losing a lot in my life because of that. I had a false sense of self, or like I had control over everything when I didn't. Faith in a power greater than myself, I was a miraculous demonstration of that power. When I truly let go and let God, I had abstinence. I've been in program for 2 years, and I had almost a year of abstinence, and that was miraculous to me because I had never had abstinence. I had always done some kind of diet program, and I always fell off. And then I did lose abstinence because I reverted back to old behaviors when something really traumatic happened in my life. And I disconnected from God again and program. And so I got back into the food and I made food my idol again. But thank God I have God and this program. I was able to reconnect again. And I thank you so much for letting me share. And thank you for everybody. This program is so incredible. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy S., for sharing with us today. And now, Stephanie L., will you share, please?
Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I have this paragraph in my book highlighted in multiple colors and underlined in multiple colors, and there's so much written in around the paragraph, it's hard to read it. But, you know, here's the thing. Like, I kept searching for a higher power. I kept searching for God. And the entire time, God has been inside of me and with me. And, you know, I, like, so many things have already been shared about this, and I hate to be repetitive, but I was the one that blocked God. You know, it talks about by pomp, which is really my arrogance, my ego. I've been able to solve every other problem in my life except for this food problem, but I can figure it out. Just give me the diet. Just give me the formula. Give me the magic drink. I can figure this out. It was a lot of arrogance and ego, and then by worship of other things, not just the food, but my size. You know, if I could only get down to like a size 4, my life would be perfect. I would be perfect. The scale, if the scale only says the right number, life will be great, you know. And then in school and at work, you know, success and power, like I worshiped all of these things. I put, you know, it's like idolatry, all of these things.
above God that, you know, of course I couldn't find God. And I'm a very visual person. And so I like have this visual of like, yeah, God is inside of me. But every time I worship something else, another brick, you know, I laid another brick trapping God in like this cage inside of me, and I couldn't reach God. And, you know, miracles do happen. The fact that I am abstinent today and I am a relapse survivor and a hardcore relapse survivor is a miracle. It's another miracle. Like, my God never leaves me. My God is always with me. I am the one that puts other things, people, places, and things ahead of God. And, you know, I see those miracles every day. Every day I hear someone tell a story about how they're a relapse survivor and God pulled them out of this dungeon. Every time I hear that story, or a newcomer comes in and I see the light go on in their eyes, like the age of miracles is still within us. And I think somebody already said it, but, you know, we talked about this on page 53, right? God either is everything or he is nothing. What was our choice to be? Am I all in? Am I all in? I had to ask myself this question. Am I all in on this way of life? What is my choice? Because that is the use of the will, to make that choice that God is going to be everything, that God is going to be able to save me from myself in this awful disease that wants to keep me in this dark dungeon, you know, waiting to die versus being in the light. And with that, I will pass, and thank you all, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thank you, Stephanie L. from California. We do have time for one more share, although we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Is there someone who would like to share with us?
Janice K.
How about try that one more time?
Janice
Carol
K.
I think I heard Janice first.
Yes, I think you did. Thank you.
Oh, okay, go ahead. And where are you calling from, Janice?
I'm calling from Oregon.
This Very
is Janice
good.
Janice K. What strikes me is it may be obscured by calamity. And this is a great summation of the things that come between us and our higher power. Calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. Calamity. What calamities have you suffered in your life? What calamities have I suffered in my life? How have they affected me? How have I been able to overcome them? Pomp is ostentatious vanity and boastfulness. Where have I been pompous? Woo, owie, pain. Worship of other things. There's another paragraph before this that says, we have worshipped other things, people, sentiment, money, and ourselves. So I'm hoping that I have left enough time for someone else to speak. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice. And what was your initial, Janice? She might have been muting there. Who else, whose other voice did we hear that would like to share? Press star one, if you'd, or we would take another name. Who is that?
Carol
G. Mm-hmm.
Carol B. G is in George.
Okay, Carol G. Go ahead and share with us. We have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Okay. Well, you know, not only do I have to be watchful for putting other things before God, before program, but even when through program, God has shown me my gift that I've been denying my whole life. And now that I have been able to express them, I can put those before God. I'm an artist, and it took me my whole life to be able to get it out. And it was because of program 11 years ago that I had the courage to start. And every time that I put my artwork first before my program, I get into my mind and it stops me from being free with my artwork. So it's like even things that are beautiful, good things that come even as gifts from program, I still have to be careful not to put those things before higher power. And that's really all I had to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol G. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in northern Michigan for the next 6 months. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.